This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05 in the evening, and earlier we were talking about the departure levy, silent airports, as well as how you respond to feedback. And we've got a message here with from Johanna saying, it's not about the quantum, it's a policy of taxing the public and travellers. Why are travellers penalised for travelling, and why are the travelling public having to fork out money for the Treasury?
I think at the moment, it's still because travelling is... Well, traveling overseas, that is a kind of privilege for most of us, especially if it's for a holiday or if it's for leisure. So in that sense, we are taxing on a leisure activity.
I see that. But I do think that point is nevertheless valid.
Yeah.
Okay. And Xiao Yang says, feedback, good or bad, makes a good mirror for you to reflect on your representation in the circle that you're in. It's also a good window to the character of the person who gives you that feedback. Overall, it's a win-win situation. I'd say bite the bullet when it's about you and share a laugh when it's juicy gossip, followed by, I love juicy gossip. And love there, by the way, is in caps
and bolded.
Yeah, so you know he means business. Moving on then to our next story. We took a little while because we wanted to kind of see what was going to be what, but it has been making headlines every day. Politics in the UK has just been messy of late. We've seen Prime Minister Theresa May just surviving a vote of no confidence. She won the ballot on her leadership by 200 votes to 117 on Wednesday night. And all this, of course, is to do with her deal regarding Brexit.
So the secret ballot was triggered by 48 of her MPs angry at her for her Brexit policy, which they say betrays the 2016 referendum result. For now, she once again proved her ability to survive a political crisis, but in the process acknowledged that her time in office is limited.
She responded to the vote with a passion she usually reserves for when her back is against the wall, defending her Brexit deal and warning that ousting her could derail the entire process. And she said she had devoted herself unsparingly to delivering the 2016 vote to leave the European Union and was ready to finish the job.
So she addressed the colleagues and acknowledged the fact and the weakness of her position by telling them that she would not fight the next scheduled election in 2022. She took over after her predecessor David Cameron quit following the shock vote for Brexit in June 2016. Winning by default after her rivals fought among themselves or withdrew.
So she had campaigned to stay in the EU, but has repeatedly stressed the importance of implementing the verdict, rejecting calls for a rethink by those who believe it was a terrible mistake. Yet her moves to minimise the economic damage of the break sparked anger among hardline Brexit supporters who accuse her of undermining the whole project.
Theresa is now heading to Brussels, or rather she's in Brussels for an EU summit to seek legally binding pledges from EU leaders on the Irish backstop, a key obstacle for MPs who oppose her Brexit deal. On Monday, she actually had to postpone a scheduled Parliament vote on her Brexit deal, conceding that the proposal was headed for defeat.
Yeah, so it's been in a state of turmoil now for...
It's a dumpster fire.
For really quite some time. And it's not helped, I think, by the fact that it would seem... I mean, we are not in the UK, but from reading what's going on there, it would seem as if this has somehow become a deal that pleases no one. It pleases neither the people who wanted to leave in the first place, nor does it please, understandably, the people who are like, hey, we didn't want to go, so let's trigger a second vote. Let's trigger a second referendum. Let's rethink this. And it's getting to a point now where there are all these challenges to her leadership, but there's also just ongoing... The arguments surrounding the Brexit deal seem to be getting increasingly heated.
It was always going to be a difficult discussion anyway. And actually, I feel a little bad for her that she has to go through this. But I'm at the same time, I don't, because it's something that she wanted and it's something that she used to ascend to power. So I'm of two minds with this. I think she has a tough time ahead of her, and I'm glad that at the moment she's realized her position, that she really isn't favoured by anyone in the party.
So Anwar says, the British are being foolish. They want to leave a club. How can they set the rules for exiting? And I think that sentiment is somewhat being reflected by the EU leaders saying, look, we want to help you, but we are not going to have much flexibility anymore. So whatever she's there to negotiate, right, they have already kind of said, look, it's not really going to happen. So she's really between a rock and a hard place. And we want to kind of get into that after this with Patrick Diamond, who is a senior lecturer in public policy at the University of London. Patrick will be joining us on the line right after this. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
This is the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are trying to wrap our heads around everything that's going on in the UK with the challenges to Theresa May's leadership, as well as the ongoing arguments and just fire surrounding the Brexit deal that she's put forward. To get a clearer picture, let's cross over now to Patrick Diamond, a senior lecturer in public policy at the Queen Mary University of London. Patrick, thank you for joining us. So I guess the question that we have to start with is, what in the world is going on right now? I mean, how is everyone feeling?
Well, people are getting increasingly nervous because the clock is ticking on Brexit. By the 30th of March 2019, Britain will be leaving the European Union. So people want to know what the plan is, what the deal with the EU is going to look like. They want to be able to plan themselves for the future if they have a business. And at the moment, it still looks very uncertain and very unstable.
So talk to us about the current Brexit deal. It seems to be getting pushback from all sides of the political divide. Why is that the case?
Yeah, the deal itself is fairly clear in that it keeps Britain in a customs union with the European Union, which means that there'll be reasonably free trade of goods and services across borders within with EU countries. That's really the deal that Britain has signed up to, but it will leave the European Union and therefore it won't be part of the free movement arrangements and it won't be part of the political union of Europe. So the deal that Theresa May's negotiated tries to preserve the economic relationship while ceasing Britain's involvement in the EU from a political perspective, which is a fairly coherent deal. The problem, as your question implies, is that neither of the sides of the political divide really support the deal. The Leave side, who want Britain to leave the European Union as quickly as possible, don't like Theresa May's deal because they think that it is an obstacle to Britain having more free trade relationships with other parts of the world. But then those who want to remain in the EU don't like Theresa May's deal because they think it's a very poor alternative to EU membership. So in that sense, the difficulty that Theresa May has is that really neither side of the debate is prepared to openly support her deal. And I think that's likely to remain the case until maybe very late in the day. It's possible that some of the Remain side could switch to support the deal on the basis that they want to avoid a so-called hard Brexit. But this is still, I think, very uncertain.
And has the deal evolved much since its very first incarnation back in 2016?
The deal that's on the table that the EU has agreed is, I think, fairly similar to what was always envisaged the UK would get. I mean, Theresa May ruled out very early on Britain staying as a member of the European Union single market because that would have involved free movement of labour across borders, which Theresa May felt the British people had voted against in the referendum, that their decision to leave the EU was based in part on a desire to break with the free movement of people across borders that the EU membership requires. So the shape of the deal which Theresa May has negotiated is a deal that has always been, I think, on the table. There's been a few adjustments here and there. Of course, the problem of Northern Ireland is very significant because Northern Ireland has a border with the EU because of the Republic of Ireland. So resolving the issue of what would happen with that border and with Northern Ireland, which also relates to the Northern Ireland peace process, that has proved to be quite complicated. But I think the overall shape of the deal has been fairly well known from an early stage.
And if we look at the other stakeholders, who are, of course, the members of the EU? How much are they endorsing the current version and why?
The European Union feels that the deal that it's given Britain is as good a deal as it could have offered. And of course, for the European Union, there's a challenge here because on the one hand, they don't want to give Britain a deal which is very bad because they don't aim if Britain is damaged economically. Obviously, Britain is absorbing lots of goods and services from other European Union countries. So there's no benefit for the EU in damaging Britain's economy. But on the other hand, the EU doesn't want to give Britain a deal which is too good, because if it's too good, then will other member states start to want to do the same thing, i.e. leave the European Union and negotiate some kind of new agreement with the EU. So the EU itself is in a very difficult position. It has to, on the one hand, not damage Britain's economy, but on the other hand, it has to negotiate a deal which is not seen to be too good and too generous to the UK. And obviously, that's a very difficult challenge.
So what are the major holdups stopping the deal from being ratified at the moment?
I don't think that the problems with the ratification of the agreement relate to any particular detail in the agreement itself. It's the fact that Theresa May doesn't have the parliamentary support in her own parliament for the agreement. And the reason why she doesn't have the support is because there are a significant group of MPs in her own party who don't really want a deal with the EU at all. They would much prefer for Britain to unilaterally depart from the European Union and then be free to negotiate its own trade relationships and, of course, avoid having to pay any further financial contributions to the EU. That's what they want. And so in that sense, whatever Theresa May negotiates is never going to satisfy them. Theresa May has been in Brussels overnight. She spent last night and is in Brussels this morning talking to EU leaders. But I think it's very unlikely she's going to extract any further concessions.
Right, because EU leaders have also said that there won't be any room for further negotiations.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as I said, the EU leaders feel that they've given as good as they can. There's not scope for other significant compromises or further adjustments to the package which has been offered. So I think it's very unlikely that this situation is going to change as a result of anything that comes out of Brussels. The situation will only change if Theresa May is able to command more support within her own parliament and particularly within her own party. But at the moment, the hopes of doing that don't look terribly optimistic. Obviously, in the confidence vote on Tuesday evening, Theresa May won, but by 200 to 117 votes, which is obviously a victory, but not a particularly comfortable victory. It suggests that there are around 120 Conservative MPs who would like her out at any cost. And I think that makes her position very difficult and makes it very hard to get this package through the British Parliament.
And as you mentioned, Theresa May only just survived the challenge to her leadership, but the future does not seem promising. What would you say are the best and worst case scenarios for her?
Well, from her perspective, I think she'd like to be the Prime Minister who sees through Brexit. So she wants to be in a position as Prime Minister when Britain leaves the EU next March. And she would like to feel, I think, that she's put in place a transitional agreement by which Britain will leave the EU. And then she's also had time to at least put in place the building blocks of what the future trade relationship with the EU will look like, even if the final agreement has not been signed off. And that will obviously take a significant amount of time next year in order to be able to do that. But from her perspective, I think the problem is that she is going to run out of time, and the Conservative Party seems determined to remove her relatively quickly. So it's quite likely, I think, that she may not be Prime Minister even if she gets her deal through by the second half of next year. She probably will no longer be Prime Minister of the UK. So I think, I mean, the best case for her is that she survives next year. The worst case is that she is gone by April 2019.
What's the likelihood of UK deciding to roll the Brexit vote back, and what kind of impact would that have?
Yeah, it's a good question. So there is a strong campaign in Britain to have a second referendum. And the second referendum option, which would give the people, in a sense, a chance to vote again on whether they wanted to leave on the basis of what they've been told subsequently about what the deal would look like, that does have strong support in some sections of Parliament, but it doesn't have a majority of MPs in favour of it. I think for the very simple reason that the danger for the political establishment is it looks as if it didn't like the answer in the first referendum. So it's trying to get people to give the right answer in the second referendum. It looks very much like you're trying to go against the will of the people, as it's called. So I think for many politicians, a second referendum is not very attractive in the sense that it looks as if you're just trying to ignore the wishes of the people in the 2016 referendum. But there is a chance that the support for a second referendum will grow, partly because if Parliament is not able to resolve the issue, people will say, well, the people should be given an opportunity if Parliament can't resolve this. And there is some evidence that Theresa May herself may be moving towards a second referendum option because she thinks that she's not going to get the majority that she needs in Parliament.
So What then would have to happen to trigger that second referendum, and would it have to take place before that March 2019 deadline?
Well, it is very much up in the air, and it's hard at the moment to see how a second referendum could take place before the end of March next year, in the sense that it takes obviously several months to, you'd have to have a vote to put through a second referendum in Parliament, and then you'd have to obviously arrange the referendum to take place. So I think the only circumstances in which a second referendum could happen would be if Britain effectively suspended its decision to leave the EU, which it could do legally. There is an Article 50 process which the government has triggered, but there was a ruling from the European Court the week before last, which said that Britain had the right unilaterally to withdraw Article 50 if it wanted to. So Britain could effectively call a halt to Brexit, stop the process, have a second referendum, work out what to do. But again, Theresa May is somewhat reluctant to do that because it looks as if you're trying to go back on the will of the people. So I think at the moment, it looks like we're set for 30th of March to be a hard deadline. But it's possible that Theresa May or another government would try to effectively halt the process and kind of delay Britain's departure.
What's the next development to look out for that I suppose might give a clearer picture of what lies ahead for the UK?
I think the next decisive moment is going to be sometime in mid-January, when Theresa May has to bring her package back to the House of Commons for a major vote. If the package is passed, then obviously there will be a deal in place and Britain will be able to proceed in a fairly orderly way towards departure on the 30th of March. But if the package is voted down, which now seems likely, then at that point, all options will be on the table. It's possible there could be a general election and the government resigns. It's possible that Theresa May resigns and is replaced by another Conservative Prime Minister. Or it's possible that Theresa May stays and tries to work on some kind of new deal, which would command more support in Parliament. Of course, the other option would be that she would also try to halt or suspend the Brexit process. Now, that may sound like a very wide range of different options. And I think as things stand now, it's possible that any of those could happen. And it will not be resolved until certainly mid to late January next year.
Patrick, thanks for those insights. That was Patrick Diamond, Senior Lecturer of Public Policy over at the Queen Mary University of London. We are talking, of course, about the Brexit, and a couple of messages have come in. eMacro saying the Brexit referendum was flawed. The vote was only 51-49. The referendum vote should only have passed with material majority. Boleba saying Brits want to keep the cake and eat it at the same time, choking on it and then blaming Theresa May instead of themselves. You can keep those messages coming. 018-789-8899 is the number to WhatsApp. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.